the Biden administration is saying that their policies have nothing to do with the surge at the border. They're still holding on to that lie. Shouldn't you have policies that fix it? This is what kills me about some of these administrations. They come in, and you hear the word inherent a lot in a deflection of responsibility. So when the economy doesn't go well under their policies, like, we got to understand, I inherited this thing, and so there's nothing I can do about it. But that's why you ran. The Biden administration claiming that, hey, our policies don't have anything to do with the fact that the surge occurred. Yeah, but aren't you supposed to put in policies that stop it? Is that not why you got elected? Or you said you, these people run claiming that they have policies that will make things better. Then when they get worse, they say, well, that's not our fault. Then why did you run? If you did not believe that you could fix these things, and if they were going to get worse and it was beyond your control, if there's nothing you can do about it, because that's essentially the position they take. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. Can't fix it. We inherited this. It was a problem. I don't remember any of these campaign stops where Biden was saying, just so you know, if I get elected, things are going to get worse at the border, but it won't be my fault. Just so you know, if I get elected, I'm not sure that schools will even be able to reopen over a year from now, you know, but go ahead and elect me anyway. I don't remember that. Do you remember that? I remember being told that these things were going to be fixed. That's why people run. It's such a remarkable difference between a results-oriented president versus one that's not, where Trump would run around showing, bragging about the results, while the Biden administration constantly hides from them and claims that they have nothing to do with his policies. That should tell us something. When one individual is saying, look, here's the outcome, and running around, and it's a bragging point, while the other's saying, hey, the outcome doesn't have anything to do with me. Not my policies. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, Constitution, Communist, Fascist, anything. That tells you something. And now, so Kamala Harris, who was put in charge of the border, that we're now told, though, that has nothing to do with them, Biden has now put her in charge of the National Space Council. I suppose you want to talk about a person who is given a job in which showing up is not even required. Total, complete absent. Now she's going to be spearheading the National Space Council. All right. Well, we'll see if she's as involved with that as she is with the border. There is a new, well, it's not new, actually. It was, let's see, started, I think, sometime last year, a group that call it, they're women. I'm assuming Democrats. They are supporters and fans of Cuomo. I think it's fair to say they're probably not right-leaning women. They call themselves Cuomo-sexuals. And they have started a Facebook fan group because they love Cuomo so much. The group, forming an online fan group for Andrew Cuomo, say that they have been bombarding a state hotline set up to report allegations against the governor. Fans formed the Facebook page Women for Governor Cuomo about a month ago, with some members urging people to confront his accusers online, to attend pro-gubernatorial rallies, and help fund supportive ads, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday. The group boasts more than 1,100 followers, mostly women over the age of 55, some who say that they have been calling the hotline and leaving messages in his defense. Pamela Morley, a 41-year-old upstate theater director, who serves as one of the Facebook group's moderators, said support for the governor is what brought us all together. Now, this is, again, totally and completely flies in the face of what we're told about particularly Democrat activist women. Here they are rallying around a guy who has been accused, I don't even know how many anymore. I think we stopped counting how many women accused him of sexual assault. And these women are actively encouraging people to harass his accusers. These are Democrat activists. The word unbelievable is right there, but sadly it's not. You know how this would be reported if it were the other way around? It proves the Republican Party hates women. I mean, even if you had one member of that group, it would be disgusting, but you've got over 1,000 women who are calling on others to harass the survivors of Cuomo's abuse. It would be used to paint the entire Republican Party as anti-woman. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We've got Jason Reimer with the latest news update. We've got a 40% chance of afternoon showers, thunderstorms today, high of 80. Shower storms likely tonight. Some could be severe. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and half an inch possible. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow. Temperatures falling through the day to around 56 by noon. And Wednesday, sunny with a high of 67. It is currently 62. We've got happy hour at Whiskey Tango this Friday, 4 to 6. Dollar domestics, $1 for domestic beer. And half price house wines. Also, the next weekend, on the Saturday, the 15th, we are going to be having our big Can't Wait for Summer kickoff party. That is going to be at Tie and Timber Beer Company. The location is Cherry and Pickwick. We're going to be there with Show Me Wagyu. And Show Me Wagyu Charities is providing all sorts of incredible food. We're just going to have a great time. And it's your chance to win a number of different raffles. We've got them listed at KSGF.com. We've got some high-dollar stuff in there as well. Well, most of them are. Ranging from absolute top-of-the-line weed eaters to a trip for two to our Great Escape Jamaica, all expenses paid. The details on all that, including how to get a free raffle ticket into the Great Escape to Jamaica at KSGF.com. The city of Springfield has hired a director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Notice that they have they've moved past the call for equality, and now it is equity. And equity denies humanity, essentially. It sees everyone as essentially needing, having the exact same needs, wants, and desires. So you can, ideally, in the minds of those who believe in equity, develop sort of this cookie cutter world where everyone has the exact same outcome. That's what equity is. Oh, the reason that this saps humanity out of the equation is because human beings have different wants and desires. Totally and completely different wants and desires. For some people, time is and leisure is more important than money. And so they're perfectly happy finding some sort of career path that earns them enough money to, I'll just live pretty simply. Some people prefer simple things. And maybe have just, a small home or an apartment. Some people prefer to live in apartments. That way they don't have to worry about maintenance and upkeep. They don't have to worry about mowing a lawn. They don't have to worry about what happens when the hot water heater goes out. They don't have to worry about a number of the different burdens, if you want to call them, that come or responsibilities that come along with homeownership. Then there are people that they are driven by wanting more. They want, they're like Bernie Sanders, and they want more than one home. They want to live a life of luxury, and you know, and if that means working 70 hours a week or more if necessary, then so be it. Some people don't want a family. So, you know, working is their family. That's what they do. That's their pleasure zone. That is what is fulfilling for those folks. Then there are those that, of course, they would prefer to be able to spend all their time with family. When you talk about equity and crafting some sort of ideal outcome that is equitable for every single person, so that every single person's outcome is the same, it is denying humanity. It is denying the component of all of us that is the single most important thing about us, and that is our humanity. The individual that's hired, by the way, $112,500 annual salary, and I suspect the benefits are probably pretty nice as well. Six figures. Taj Suleiman has been named the City of Springfield first Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. He will join the city's leadership team on May 17th. Suleiman has extensive career experience leading diversity, equity, and inclusionary work for a variety of organizations, including most for the public sector and nonprofits. Isn't it hilarious that so, in the context of equity, making six figures? I mean, shouldn't the salary be whatever the lowest paid city employee's salary is? The hypocrisy of having a position that is all about equity starting out at six figures. Most recently he was director of equity for Dubuque Community Schools in Dubuque, Iowa, serving as a key district leader. Prior to joining Dubuque Community Schools, he served as an equity outreach coordinator for the city of Dubuque. He has worked both within the city organization and across the community development programs, so forth. He will report directly to the city manager, Jason Gage, who said, quote, "We are very excited to have Taj join our team. He has significant leadership experience, and we are looking forward to continuing our work to build a better workplace that represents the community we serve." You know what I always find, people are different when it comes to hiring. How do they gauge this stuff? If I'm applying for a job, and let's say it's marketing, for some marketing firm, I'm going to come to them and I'm going to say, hey, this was the revenue that was coming in. Here are results. This is the revenue that was coming in when I got hired. And over my six-year period in time there, we saw an increase of 12% on average every year. And this is why it was directly tied to me. I, crafted this project, put together and got this account, which added significantly to our revenue. What are they, when it's somebody's all about diversity and equity, what does that look like? How do we know that this person was successful? Were people more equitable in the end? See, I don't believe that there is any way to gauge this because there's no end result in sight. There's no measurable outcome that you say, okay, well, this is what we want in the end to happen. They, say, well, we want equity and diversity. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you know if that succeeds? See, critical race theory, the call for equity, the Black Lives Matter movement. If you notice, they never have a measurable goal. There's never, this is how we will know that you can measure that we have achieved what we have set out to do. If you don't have a measurable goal, then you can never achieve it. you're constantly just told that you're doing it wrong. The director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion will report directly to the city manager. And Gage said the position will be critical in taking the local government's diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives to a new level, including developing and implementing strategies and education programs throughout the organization. This is not intended to be a position that dives in and solves all our diversity inclusion challenges in our community, he explained. However, the position will give the municipality the ability to strengthen our collaboration with community-wide organizations in concert with the city departments that already work in that space. The city of Springfield is committed to taking a leadership role in addressing direct and systemic prejudice, bias, and racism. Beyond racial equity, however, the city is committed to promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion in every sense of the words, which is one reason Sullivan was attracted to the job. And in the name of equity, he's going to be making $112,500 a year, plus, like I said, I'm sure, some nice benefits. Well, that screams equity, doesn't it? Without a doubt, it seems very equitable. This stuff is ultimately divisive. We claim that we want everyone, I mean, I suppose if you were to pin somebody down as to what is the ultimate goal, what is to understand one another, you know, ultimately people manage to get along just fine. And then you have, frankly, oftentimes troublemakers. They will come in and they just start telling you, you think that you're okay with each other. But we need to have some courses to explain why you're not. We need to have some training so you know that you should be bothered by this person's category over here or this. I mean, they take scenarios in which people generally are good people and they get along just fine, and they just start pitting them against one another. All in the name of equity and diversity, of course. You know what? I can call for six figures. I can come around and be like, hey, you like that guy over there? Oh, yeah, we get along fine. Well, you shouldn't. Let me tell you why. Let's have a tough conversation. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Joe reviewing, saying, I'm older, and the sale of my rental property wasn't my first rodeo. This was the first time I've used Emily, and she was the best realtor I've ever dealt with. She was well prepared from day one with information that we used to sell or to set a price. Her buyer network is well developed, and the property sold within hours. Her follow-through during the contract period was excellent, and it was the smoothest process I have ever been involved with. Besides her professional qualities, Emily has a warm, caring personality. She will be my realtor in the future. That's just one of many who have used Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate for buying and selling homes. And I recommend her to you if you are looking to do either of those things, or if you just have some very preliminary questions. Maybe you've never bought a home before, and that can be very intimidating. Start with Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. All of her information you can find on the Nick's endorsement section at ksgf.com. Harry Reid, the former U.S. Senator from Nevada, told The New Yorker late last week that he believes that government defense contractor Lockheed Martin is in possession of fragments of a crashed alien spacecraft. Now, over the past, it seems like, couple of years, people in positions that maybe once upon a time would have poo-pooed the notion of the existence of aliens and UFOs are beginning to talk about it and to say things like that. Now, that's a very, very specific, I don't know if you'd use words, a suggestion. To specifically say Lockheed Martin as a company has downed aircraft from an alien spaceship. That's pretty specific. We have also seen the military with a greater frequency release videos and acknowledge, yeah, this is something we don't know what it is. I used to really love reading about UFOs and aliens, and I don't know what it was about it. It just intrigued me to no end. I remember I had a paper, well, a couple of paper routes that started when I was in fifth grade, and there was a Bob's IGA on Jesse James Road in Excelsior Springs, and one of the papers, I think it was the pharmacy in there or the somewhere in IGA, I dropped off a paper, and they had a book rack there, and there was a book by Whitley Strieber called Communion, and I would watch, and it had this on the front of it, an illustration of an alien head. There's something just really drew me into that. Found it fascinating. So I just always began reading and just found it interesting and intrigued me. And I fully, well, as a person who believes in God, I believe that it's possible. I mean, to say it's not possible for there to be other life forms to me is saying God, it's not possible for God to have created that. And so I can't say that. So that means to me it is possible. If God can do whatever he wants. That doesn't mean that, you know, they do exist. Doesn't mean they don't. But I was pretty much, and I thought, you know, some of this just seems really credible. And I started actually questioning that a little bit because of the fact that people all across this world constantly have recording devices on them. And I thought, well, surely there'd be some like really impressive video that would have been caught at this point if we are being visited. And then I start to think to myself, well, if they're that advanced, maybe they know that people have recording devices now. So yeah, they're a little more careful about where they fly around. You know, they're not willing to just drop out into a field and slice open some cattle and drain their blood and then make a crop circle because they recognize that they'll probably be caught on security footage doing it. And so they just don't. That's not what they do anymore. They study other things. But anyway, so I had this interesting thought. And I'll share it with you after Jason's news here. But what if all of we're starting to see more of people like in government and release of these military videos that the aliens, that they do exist and they are out there. So I came up with kind of a theory on this that I wanted to share after we get the latest news. I'm Nick Reed. And we got that 40% chance, afternoon showers, storms, high of 80. Jason mentioning all that there. Some possibly severe. We could get a quarter to half an inch of rainfall overnight tonight with a low of 58. And then temperatures are not going to really go up Tuesday. Down, in fact, settling around 56 degrees by noon with showers and thunderstorms possible. Then sunny on Wednesday with a high of 67. It is 63. Whatever you see, more of these videos get released and acknowledged by our government, particularly the military, these objects that seem to be a recognition that there is some form of perhaps unidentified intelligence flying these objects. And I've heard some theorize that, our government or other governments know that they exist, and it's gotten to the point where it has been decided that the revelation of such existence needs to come about, but they want to ease people into it so people don't freak out, so they get more comfortable with the idea, and you do that by slowly but surely introducing footage and acknowledgement that there are some things out there going on, and I can see that would make sense. But then I think about, well, why now? Why would, let's say that that aliens have decided that they are going to begin interfering with humanity to some degree. And this is the premise for countless movies. And so I think to myself, when in a movie, aliens decide it's time to intervene, what is it usually about? It's usually because we're destroying the planet, right? Or their planet's being destroyed, so they've got to harvest ours. But oftentimes, if it's sort of this moralistic lesson, it's about how, you know, they've you know, decided, if they're friendly anyhow, that they're watching us destroy one another, and they want to offer a helping hand in order to help guide us through these times as a higher and more intelligent existence. I thought to myself, you know, I've begun to believe that we are on a downhill trajectory, and we have been for some time. That we've peaked in terms of our willingness to try and evolve as humanity. And you know, we no longer use our brains in order to better ourselves, but instead you look around at, I mean, just look at how we do things anymore. Oh, we don't like a situation with police. Let's burn our own city to the ground. I mean, listen, honestly, that doesn't make any sense. You've got areas of this city, the areas in which people claim they are the worst parts of our country, yet they continue to vote the same people to be in charge over and over again. Now, you think about it. If you're an outsider observing that, you go, okay, people have stopped thinking. None of this makes sense. You look at Black Lives Matter. Who ends up being their number one target often? It's businesses owned by black people. Look, that doesn't make any sense. Well, let's just say that you are some sort of, life form, and you're like missionaries, right? I mean, we do that as humans, don't we? As human beings, we find areas of our own planet in which we think we can offer help because we have the resources and the knowledge to do it, whereas some other people in other parts of the world may not. So what if aliens were that way? And they're like, okay, we see now they're in trouble. We found this planet, I don't know, a couple hundred years ago. We've been observing, we've been watching, and we saw people that ultimately were interested in using their brains. And they would exercise that with discussion. They had formed communication, and they would use that communication in order to understand one another in a better way, and they would try and hone in ways of communicating that would make it more effective, and then they would learn from that. Well, that stuff has stopped. We don't do that anymore. We've peaked, I think, as human beings. Again, just look around us. Look at the guy in the White House, for Pete's sakes. Look at how people behave whenever they don't get their way at a drive-thru restaurant or entire group organizations of people who, when they don't get their way, burn down their own cities. No one in their right mind does that. And then we've got somebody who's, say you're an outside observer, is aliens, and you see the people in the White House encourage it. And so, when I reflect back and I think about storylines that have been written and aliens that decide, all right, it's time for us to intervene because they're destroying the planet and we need to help send them a message. Maybe they've decided it's time to intervene because these people have turned into total morons at this point and they are not any longer on an upward trajectory. But it's clear they are on their way down in terms of humanity. And maybe it's just like a mission trip for them. We're going to go help these people out. And that's why we're beginning to see them pop up more. It's just an idea. I think it'd make for a good movie plot to some degree. Man, I mean, you just think about, if you were back, what was it, maybe 20 years ago, we would observe certain countries that would, whenever there'd be some big soccer match, football, you know, and when their team would win, they would, like, riot in the streets. Or if their team lost, and we were like, what is wrong with this? That doesn't even make sense. Well, we do that now. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Well, maybe aliens are just here on a mission trip to try and help get us back on track. Coming up, Mitt Romney was booed while on stage at the Utah GOP convention. We've got that coming up next. I'm Nick Reed. All our building company, they design it, you customize it. Their goal to keep the process simple, ensure that you get everything you want and enjoy the finished product. They don't sacrifice quality for budget, but they do keep you in budget. So in other words, the nightmares you hear about people and they take out a loan, maybe you've done this too. Because you're told in the end, it's going to cost you this much. All right, you get the loan. Maybe even a little extra just for some wiggle room, and then halfway through it, well, you know, the price of lumber or this happened, that happened, and so forth. And all of a sudden, you know, you got to go back and ask for another $40,000, $50,000, or even more. With Aller Building Company, the price that they give you is the price that you're going to pay. And they don't build the same home twice. You can get more information about Aller Building Company at the or at KSGF.com under Nick's endorsements. Mitt Romney in Utah, the state convention, Friday or over the weekend.
So what do you think of President Biden's first 100 days, huh? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what do you think about President Biden's first 100 days? Now, you know me as a person who says what he thinks, and I don't hide the fact that I wasn't a fan of our last president's character issues. And I'm also no fan... Aren't you embarrassed? And I'm also no fan of the president's... Yeah, sure.
My friends, this is the moment I was talking about.
Guys, behave.
Please. Thank you. Show respect.
All right. So Romney, according to Fox News, insults ranging from communist to traitor, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Among others, Mitt Romney, ultimately, he would say, we need to come together and strengthen unity. Isn't that interesting, coming from a guy who refused to come together with Trump? Or on the countless Republican voters that had a voice through Trump? As usual is the case with the elites. Coming together means you give up your beliefs and come to my side. It never crosses their mind that perhaps they, when they talk about coming together, ought to reach over and listen to the supporters. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.